views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, WBLQ in the Northeast, Cable Radio Network, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us here today because you are going to be very happy you did. How are you doing today, Benny?
Hi, doing all right. And just a heads up, I know it's kind of the talk of the nation, so to speak. Part of our I-5 corridor in Washington State, the bridge has collapsed and was hit earlier. So just want to make sure everyone's planning accordingly for today's activities. Of course, heading to and from on I-5 around Burlington area.
Yes.
Again, it was an earlier accident from late last night. Supposedly a truck hit the bridge. And so I would think of different plans for this weekend if you're traveling maybe to and from Canada. I mean, that's a major area. So
it is. And, you know, today is the Friday before our long weekend, the Memorial Day weekend here in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, people often will go away for the 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to spend their day, their evening, you know, all night long.
8 to 9 hours stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no.
That's not fun.
Just a little heads up. So just, yeah, hope everyone's doing. And there weren't that many incidences, or I guess I should say injuries. So thankfully, it could have been worse. So we're thankful it wasn't major.
Yes. Well, you know, it's a big day in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that catastrophe, there's some other interesting things going on. For instance, today is the day of the full moon.
All right.
And there happens to be a lunar eclipse. It's the third of three eclipses over the past 5 weeks or so.
It's a rare event as is.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think there are five this entire year. And so, you know, some people see that there is significance in terms of the energetic shifting relating to that. But there is something else going on today. Tonight, I'm going to be presenting at East West Bookshop. I'm going to be talking about the 111 Activation, Tools to Transform Your Life. You know, it's funny because originally when East West contacted me, they said, you know, we've got one prime spot left and, you know, we'd love to have you fill it. You want to present? And I looked at my calendar. I was going to be in town. I was like, sure. I had no idea that there was the energetics of the full moon lunar eclipse. So but I'm really happy to be presenting at East West again, and I hope that some of my listeners will join me today. But, you know, what do they say on those infomercials? But wait, there's more.
Hooray!
Yeah, today I've got an amazing guest joining me here on my show. He approaches things from the psychological, the spiritual, as well as the scientific, a man after my own heart. I'm talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's the author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One. You know, he's an international best-selling author. He studied neuroscience at Rutgers, where he got his Bachelor of Science degree. I also spent some time at Rutgers. I'm wondering if we had some overlap. He is a chiropractor, and he's also on the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners. He's lectured in, get this, 26 different countries on 6 continents. And he teaches people how to rewire their brains to live a more fulfilling life. He's the author of Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, and his most recent book that I just mentioned, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. He's also appeared in the films What the Bleep and Down the Rabbit Hole version, as well as the most recent film, The People Versus the State of Illusion, which is a wonderful film. I'm talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza, a man who's near and dear to my heart. Welcome, Joe, to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hi, Christine. Happy to be with you.
You know, I just saw you in San Diego, just sort of by chance, and got to hear another one of your presentations. And your information is so important, and I really do believe that it's particularly pertinent right now because there are a lot of people who are dissatisfied with their lives. Why should people break the habit of being themselves?
Mm, That's a great question. I think if you look at who we are by the time we're 35 years old, the model of psychology tells us that by the time we're 35, a personality is pretty much a finite set of behaviors, emotional reactions, beliefs, and perceptions that function like an automatic subconscious program. In other words, we've practiced something so many times that the body knows better than the brain. So once the body becomes the mind, the servants become the master. So when people try to change, they're using 5% of their conscious mind to go against 95% of what they've memorized. So if they're thinking certain thoughts that produce certain chemicals that make them feel certain ways, and then those feelings drive the same thoughts, and then those thoughts drive the same feelings, the repetition of that cycle over time conditions the body to become the mind of that emotion. And so now, once the body's the mind, and they've been thinking negative thoughts that make them feel guilty or unworthy or insecure, and those insecure feelings drive the same thoughts, then for the most part, they're subconsciously guilty. They're unconsciously insecure, or they feel really unworthy, and it's just kind of their natural state of being. So now when a person wants to change, they're going to think positively with the 5% of their conscious mind, but they've memorized negativity or guilt, and it's subconscious. So that's the mind and body in opposition, and the key is to then recondition the body to a new mind. So if 5% is that particular state of behavior, then for the most part, we're unconscious most of our life, and it's who we are.
Right. And if you're talking 5% versus 95%, the 95% is always going to win, isn't it?
Yeah, because the moment you have a stray thought or an emotional reaction to something or someone in your life, the program starts, and then you go unconscious. And so now the body's running the show, and you have very little control over it.
Okay. So you talk about memorized emotions. How do we get these memorized emotions?
Well, feelings and emotions are the end product of past experiences, and we can remember experiences better because we can remember how they feel. And when we have an emotional reaction to something or someone in our life, there's a change in our internal chemistry, and new experiences actually reinforce circuitry in our brain. So then, if you're not feeling any differently any day, you feel the same as the day before, by very definition, nothing new is happening in your life. And to top it off, if those feelings are driving certain thoughts, then for the most part, feelings are a record of the past. You're thinking in the past. And this is where people have trouble, because it starts to have a lingering effect on us. In other words, we have reactions to conditions in our life, and if we don't know how to control our emotional reactions to events that could be traumatic or shocking, the emotional residue, the refractory period of that emotion, begins to linger into a mood. And that's just one long emotional reaction. And if you keep it going for months or weeks, that's called a temperament. And then if it goes on for years on end, that's called a personality trait. So for most people, they memorize emotions that become part of their personality. And for the most part, that's not who they are. That's who they've conditioned themselves into believing they are. And then we tell stories equal to that emotion, and that's when we get in trouble.
Right. So, Joe, don't you think that so many of the programmed emotions start in childhood?
Yeah, they do. And that's just because when we're children, most of our attention is on our inner world. Because of the brainwave patterns in children, for the most part, we're in the imaginary realm. We're in the realm of the imagination, and our brain is in theta and alpha. And in those realms, the inner world is more real than the outer world. And so there's no analytical or critical mind to edit the experience. All we do is pay attention to how we feel, and we correlate that change in our feeling with somebody or something outside of us. And that begins to lay the foundation of our personality. And even though we may not understand what love is or what abuse is or any of those conditions of manipulation or whatever, that's what we begin to relate as normal. And that begins to lay down, you know, the tracks of the personality.
Right. So so if somebody is, you know, if a parent is shaming a child, then the child internalizes it as a part of their natural state, because it's just because they're living in that inner world and don't say, oh, well, that parent's behaving badly. And, you know, so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And the attachment of the child to the parent then is what the child is looking for is consistency. Mm-hmm. So if the child is shamed and that's consistent, then they'll interpret that as love. And so they'll seek out relationships in their future to reaffirm that emotion, to remember who they think they are, because that's their interpretation of what love is.
That's huge, Joe. That's huge. So we take the dysfunction of childhood and we look for it as grown-ups, because that's what we've been pre-programmed to desire.
Right. I mean, what happens is that the feelings from the recurrent experiences, remember, if you keep reproducing the same experience, you reinforce the circuitry in your brain and you begin to produce the emotions that condition your body. Mm-hmm. Then in time, if you've done it enough times, then that particular emotional state becomes the identity. So we filter that experience through our view neurologically, and then we choose circumstances and conditions in our life to reaffirm that emotional addiction so that we can remember who we think we are. Upside mm-hmm. down. And that's where people get stuck in their past. That's not a conscious process.
Right, right. Well, you know, we're going to take a short break now, but when we return, Joe, I'm going to want to ask you, how do we rewire this within our brains so that we are creating something new in our lives? When we return shortly on the Christine Upchurch Show. Dr. Joe Dispenza, best-selling author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and co-star of the hit movie What the Bleep, is bringing his progressive workshop to Seattle June 28th through 30th. In this transformational workshop, Dr. Joe will help you to release those thoughts, habits, and emotions that get in the way of living the life you deserve and empower you to step into a new level of being. Join Dr. Joe June 28th through 30th in Seattle. For more information, visit drjoedispenza.com. If you are looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
Are you looking for an easy way to shift your vibration, creating lasting change in your life? Join Christine Upchurch, Director of Stellar Reflections and host of the Christine Upchurch Show, for a special presentation at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Friday, May 24th. Christine will discuss the exciting new energetic activations which have changed lives around the world. She will share the amazing story of how these activations came about, how these processes are a part of an energetic evolution that is underway, and how you too can shift your life and play an important role in the transformation of the planet. Join Christine Upchurch for the 111 Activation and Beyond Tools to Transform Your Life at East West Bookshop in Seattle on May 24th at 7:30 p.m. Isn't it time to release the patterns of struggle and step into the vibration of empowerment? Reserve your space today at eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm your host, Christine Upchurch, and I am having a conversation with Dr. Joe Dispenza, author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Find a New One. Joe, I just love the title of your book.
Well, I think the process of change really requires becoming conscious of those unconscious programs that we've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
By the fact that we have this huge frontal lobe, you know, the fact that we can think about how we're thinking or notice how we're behaving or pay attention to how we're feeling means we could modify our states of being to do a better job in life. And so in order to change them, the first step is to become conscious of your unconscious self, because if you don't begin to observe and become aware of who you've been, you can think positively, as I said, all you want, but you're living in an unconscious state of negativity.
Right. So how do we become more conscious?
Well, unfortunately, usually takes crisis or trauma or disease or diagnosis or loss or some type of catastrophe before we really get serious about change. You know, we have to reach our lowest denominator, and we're altered in some way. And the moment we're altered in some way, we can see ourselves better because we're no longer being ourselves. That's
right.
Kind of the model of how most of us change. And, you know, my message is you can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or you can learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. And, and that knowing how to do it, the process of change really, and making it a skill. We've all made changes in our life, and we've had some firm intention when we've done it, and we've made up our mind, and we saw a vision without any real limitations. And when we get inspired like that, we start to produce a very strong physiological change in our brain and body, and that's the raw material that begins to start the process.
Mm-hmm. You know, Joe, years ago when I was facing cancer and doctors didn't have anything to offer me, you know, I ended up healing myself using visualization and shifting some things about my life, becoming more aware of the negative emotions that I was sort of, you know, that were going around and around in my mind on a moment-to-moment basis. And I think what I discovered in that process is that each of us, or at least me personally and many I've worked with since then, have this deep desire to express their authentic self, is the way I might put it. Or I think you talk about expressing divinity within our, you know, within our mind and body. How does it show up when we don't, like, listen to that? And it just gets worse and worse, doesn't it, until it comes into crisis?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because we have a conscience, and that conscience really is related to our frontal lobe. And, you know, we always know better. And what happens is when we compromise ourselves for immediate gratification or for choices that reaffirm some type of dependency or attachment outside of us, what happens is each time we compromise, we give up a little piece of ourselves, and that voice gets a little less loud, and we start paying more attention to the ego instead of to that voice, that conscience. And when we really get to the point where in our life where we can predict the feeling of everything and nothing new is happening, and you see the same people, you go to the same places and do the same things, and you reach that point where all of a sudden nothing's making those feelings that you've been hiding from go away, this is really where people start to get serious and they start to pay attention to those feelings, and the soul starts to wake up, and you start asking important questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Why am I doing all of this anyway? And it's a moment of realization, because this is where people start saying, you know, I don't love you. I don't even know what love is. Or, you know, who is God? And, you know, is it true, everything I've learned? And they start to question the nature of reality, and they begin to break their emotional agreements with everyone and everything in their life. And it's a tough time. And so this is really the rebirthing process, and it's essential.
And in your book, you talk about your own process, even after you were incredibly successful and living a life that many would envy. Can you talk a little bit about that, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, we were talking earlier about being children. I think we all have been branded emotionally as children, where we've had events take place that left some emotional residue and scars, and all of us really can't make sense of it. And so what we do is we grow up, we begin to identify with our environment, and we begin to create an identity that's connected to the people we know and the places we live and the things we own and the things we do at different times. And so the environment becomes a great distraction from those feelings, and we create a gap. And if you were to take one hand and place it at the level of your eye and the other hand at the level of your waist, the top hand is how we appear to the world. That's the identity. That's the image. That's the facade. That's the personality. And that bottom hand is how we really feel inside, and that's what we're hiding. We don't want anybody to know how we feel inside, so we create this big smoke screen. I call it spinning plates. And so for the first 35 or 45 years of our life, it works really well, because we don't have to pay attention to that feeling. And all of a sudden, after we've experienced what most of what life has to offer, all of a sudden, now that feeling isn't going away as easy. And it's you're beginning to notice that when the novelty and the newness of an experience wears off, that feeling comes back. And for me personally, I was, you know, what the bleep was the super success. And, you know, I became, you know, very, very internationally known. And I noticed that when I was out in the world and living my life and lecturing, I had this identity. But when I came home and I was for a few days before I left again, I felt this incredible sense of emptiness and unhappiness. And I started to realize that I needed the people and things and conditions in my life to reaffirm that top hand, that identity. And I knew that that wasn't who I was, but really that I had to start looking at who I was when all the environmental stimulation was taken away. And at the end of our life, when this reality rolls up, that top hand goes with it, and what we're left with are those feelings that we've memorized. So unmemorizing those emotions that keep us connected to the past starts to liberate energy, and that liberation of energy is called joy. And that's when how we appear is who we are. When those two hands come together, that's transparency. And now how you appear is who you are, and that authentic self begins to come through you quite naturally.
Oh, that's beautiful, Joe. And you know, one of the things that I was surprised to read in your book is that you actually decided to walk your talk and get rid of some of that environmental, you know, stimulation that was that really that top hand. And you canceled your tour for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I closed my website down. This was, you know, pretty much crazy at the time because everybody in my life thought I had lost my mind. And I was losing in my mind, you know.
Right.
But the mind I needed to lose, because on some level I knew that it was becoming an addiction, that I needed more of it. And when I didn't have that stimulation, I felt the very strong sense of emptiness. So I kind of went against the grain and just something quite unnatural. I just closed down all my websites and canceled all my lectures and refunded everybody. And I said, look, I really got to take care of me. And so I retreated from my life for a period of time and, you know, changed my values.
Yeah, that's amazingly courageous that you did that. So, Joe, you've got an event coming up in Seattle. It's a progressive workshop. Could you share with us what goes on there?
Sure. You know, I think this is a time in history, Christine, where it's not enough to know. I think we're at a point now where people want to know how. And one of the biggest, feedback questions and comments that we've gotten after What the Bleep and after I wrote my first book was, well, that's really great information, but how do you do it? How do you change?
Right.
And so we started teaching these workshops around the world and giving people the essential tools to, first of all, learn how to do it and then begin to make the changes. And so the Progressive Workshop in June, it's on the 28th to the 30th at the Renaissance Hotel in Seattle, is an opportunity for people to retreat from their life for 2.5 days, 2 days and one evening, and learn some vital information about change, and then begin to learn the skill on how to apply it to their life. And so they'll learn how to change beliefs and perceptions about themselves and their life. They'll learn how to recondition their body to a new mind. They'll learn how to find the sweet spot of the present moment, to tune into potentials into the quantum field. This workshop is not philosophically based. We'll be in and out of meditation every day, and we will be working quite diligently to make changes. So the Progressive Workshop just came out of our intensive workshops where we were first teaching this and then people wanted more. So we teach the intensive workshop, but that course is online, and we recommend that people see the 7-hour course, which is the introductory level course where you learn the basic meditation and you see the PowerPoints and pictures of neurons connecting and disconnecting when the brain's working in state of creation. Those visuals are essentially important for people to really begin to piece it all together.
Yeah, well, you know, your work is really important. And as I think you know, and many of my listeners know, I've got a very busy schedule. And I'm taking the time to be at your workshop in June 28th, 29th, and 30th here in Seattle, because I don't want to miss this opportunity. You know, I've done a whole lot of inner work in my life. And yet, I think we're always being called to become more and to honor that divinity within, to express our true nature it while in this physical form. And so I'm not going to miss it. And if you feel inspired to join us, I think you should, because it's your soul calling.
Mm, Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's really amazing because in the last 2 years, in our workshops around the world, we've been seeing such amazing changes in people's health just by shifting their state of being. And we've seen things like rheumatoid arthritis and MS and celiac disease and lupus and Hashimoto's syndrome and chronic pain and food sensitivity. All these
Wonderful.
Just literally change when a person really understands how to make those significant changes. And so mm-hmm. it's a pretty exciting time because now we know that it works, and we now are seeing some of those changes not taking place when people are home doing it, but we've seen them in our workshops right during the event. So
That's
I think
great.
It's pretty exciting.
And it's not just about the physical healings. People, the circumstances in people's lives shift afterwards, don't they?
Yeah, you know, I mean, your personality creates your personal reality. That's it. And your
right.
personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel. So when people start changing those elements, all of a sudden they're walking into a new life. And, of course, reality organizes and it reorganizes itself to reflect that person's level of mind. Basically, they're observing from a quantum perspective their life from a new level of mind, and the lens widens, and so they see possibilities that they never saw before.
Yeah, that's great. And you've got some wonderful stories in your book, too, about some people who've had surprising shifts afterwards, you know, including financial and you know, it's, I always say, if you want to change the patterns in your life, then you need to change the patterns in your vibrational field. And I know that through your approach, you are helping people to tap into that quantum field in a new way. And when we come back, Joe, I want to find out from you how you go about doing that and why it's important to tap into the quantum field when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Are you looking for an easy way to shift your vibration, creating lasting change in your life? Join Christine Upchurch, Director of Stellar Reflections and host of the Christine Upchurch Show, for a special presentation at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Friday, May 24th. Christine will discuss the exciting new energetic activations which have changed lives around the world. She will share the amazing story of how these activations came about, how these processes are a part of an energetic evolution that is underway, and how you too can shift your life and play an important role in the transformation of the planet. Join Christine Upchurch for the 111 Activation and Beyond Tools to Transform Your Life at East West Bookshop in Seattle on May 24th at 7:30 p.m. Isn't it time to release the patterns of struggle and step into the vibration of empowerment? Reserve your space today at eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
The Michael Shane Show, conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk, radio.com, on the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live, on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit michaelshane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, shane.com. Or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, best-selling author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and co-star of the hit movie What the Bleep, is bringing his progressive workshop to Seattle June 28th through 30th. In this transformational workshop, Dr. Joe will help you to release those thoughts, habits, and emotions that get in the way of living the life you deserve and empower you to step into a new level of being. Join Dr. Joe June 28th through 30th in Seattle. For more information, visit drjoedispenza.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here talking to Dr. Joe Dispenza, author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Now, Joe, can you share with our listeners how to connect with you, please?
Yeah, I guess the best way to connect with me is just through my website. It's just drjoedispenza.com, drjoedispenza.com. That's really all the resources and all the things, events, and opportunities we have is on the website.
Yeah, and you have events going on all over the world. You said you're heading to Spain next, is that right?
Yes, to Barcelona.
Yeah, wonderful. And you're going to be here in the Seattle area June 28th through 30th. And you can find that information on Dr. Joe's website. And also there'll be a link from my website next to his podcast as of this afternoon to register for the Seattle workshop. So if you want more information about that, you can go to either website. And, you know, Joe, I think everybody has this inner yearning to become more. You know, it's a never-ending process, right? And I think, as you were describing, we get stuck in old patterns. We get stuck in old emotions. And you're helping people to find their way out so they can create a new mind. How do you go about doing that? And what's the importance of tapping into the quantum field in order to do that?
Wow, I think we need a bottle of wine in 2 hours. Well, I mean, listen, I think science is the contemporary language of mysticism right now. And I think if you mix a little quantum physics and neuroscience and neuroendocrinology and a little epigenetics and you piece it together, you have more information about you. And if the quantum field is an infinite field of possibilities, that exists beyond time and space, it's a field of information. And you're observing your life from the same level of mind, you're keeping infinite possibilities of all of those subatomic particles collapsing into the same patterns of information called your reality.
Right. So let me just reiterate that, Joe. You're basically saying that we have all these possibilities and we're recreating the same old, same old.
Exactly. And so we're lost in the dream. And so when people start to wake up and they start to really realize that they can be a cause in their life, then there's got to be a model of understanding that people can strive for. And so the quantum field is both within you and all around you. It's both personal and it's universal.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to respond to the way we think and feel. As a matter of fact, according to my model, thoughts are the electric charge in the quantum field and feelings are the magnetic charge. And the way you think and the way you feel broadcast an electromagnetic signature that influences every single atom in your life. And so if you're thinking and feeling the same way every day, you're broadcasting the same signature into the field and reality stays the same. Now, some of the research that's being done on affecting matter at a remote location, what are the elements that really begin to produce effects? And one of them is a very clear intention. And intention is a mindful process. In other words, it's a brainy process.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to get clear on something, you got to use your brain. You got to get intentional. You got to get clear.
Of course.
And the more clear you are, the better you construct a model or an image in your mind. Now, you can use all the intention you want in trying to change something in your life and change the effects in your life, and you will get absolutely nowhere. Now, if you just move into an elevated emotion of, say, gratitude or joy or goodwill, and you are living by that emotional state of happiness,
mm-hmm.
that elevated emotion does nothing to affect that matter. But when you combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion, in other words, you see some future possibility that you want, and you marry that future possibility with the feeling of how it will occur or how it will feel when mm-hmm. it occurs, you're teaching your body emotionally to understand. You're giving it a taste of that future experience, and your body is the unconscious mind, does not know the difference between the actual event in your life that's producing the emotion and the emotion that you're fabricating by thought alone, because the privilege of being a human being is that we can make thought more real than anything else. Now, there's a couple caveats to this. If you're changing the way you think and you're changing the way you feel, you're firing and wiring new circuits in new ways, and your brain will begin to look like the experience has happened. There'll be physical evidence to look like you've experienced the event.
So it's actually scientific that just by going to this place of the positive emotions with, you know, imagining that new reality that you want to create through intention, that something is going on in the brain that changes the brain.
Absolutely. The circuitry begins to reorganize because the moment the thought in your brain becomes the experience, the brain doesn't know the difference, and the thought becomes the experience, and we reorganize circuitry. Then if you're emotionally embracing that event, you're literally signaling new genes in new ways, and your body is beginning to embrace that future event. And now when your brain and body are no longer living in the past, but now a record to the future, a map to the future, now is when you begin to create that sense of knowingness. You start to say, I know it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. So one of the things is that then when you get up from your meditation, is that you can't go back into that old state of being. You have to maintain that modified state of mind and body your entire day, independent of the conditions in your life, independent of the habits and addictions of your body, and independent of time. And if you will, and you're able to sustain that, there should be evidence in your life. That's the law.
So how does that evidence show up?
Oh, it always shows up in a way that you least expect. Because if you can expect it, it's nothing new. It has to catch you off guard. It has to surprise you. And it has to leave no doubt that what you did inside of you produced a result outside of you. And when you can correlate what you've done inside of you to produce the result outside of you, you'll pay attention to what you did and you'll do it again. Now you're beginning to become empowered and you're beginning to no longer live as a victim of your life where your environment is controlling how you think and feel. You're beginning to make the change of how you think and feel is producing an effect in your life. So you're living by cause and effect, or are you causing an effect?
Oh, yeah. And you know, Joe, you talk about being surprised by it. I absolutely love the process of, you know, putting it out there and having it come in a way that I didn't anticipate or come at a time I didn't anticipate. And sometimes I'll just burst out laughing, like, of course, you know, it becomes so obvious when it's not the way that I would have even been able to imagine it occurring. So it's like I'm imagining the final event, and that's what you're talking about, imagining that reality we want to create, but not worrying about the how it's going to happen and actually getting surprised by it.
Yeah, you know, there's a physiology to tickling. You can't be tickled if you know where you're going to be tickled and when. And the universe is the same way. You know, we should allow it to tickle us. And when the new experience comes, and it comes that in that new and unusual way, now it's a new event. Because if you would have known how to have done it, you would have done it already, right?
Yes.
So now the universe says, let me organize it in a way that's right for you. So now there's this delicate balance between intending with an elevated emotion and surrendering to a greater mind and trusting that the outcome is going to come instead of trying to control the outcome, try to force it, try to make it happen.
And that's
stepping out of the way.
That's huge, isn't it? Yeah.
Because we have to lay down the very thing we used our whole life to get what we want for something greater to happen. And that takes quite a bit of restraint.
Right. And you also talk about the importance of getting to a place where you're not focusing on time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important not to focus on the time?
Well, I mean, when we live by the emotions of survival, when we're living by stress, the chemicals of stress and the hormones of stress cause us to mobilize enormous amounts of energy for some emergency situation. And so when we do that, when we create all these hormonal changes, and stress is when your body's knocked out of homeostasis, the moment you do that, your brain changes in its brainwave patterns, and it changes because now you're using your senses to determine reality. Your senses are heightened. And when your senses are heightened, you're defining reality by as a body living in an environment, living in time. In other words, there's three things you're paying attention to: the body, the environment, and time. And for the most part, you're functioning as a materialist. And what you're doing is you're putting all of your attention on the outer world, and you're trying to predict an outcome. This is where we get in trouble, because the emotions of anger and aggression and frustration and overwhelm and judgment and analysis and fear and anxiety and anger and, you know, all those guilt, shame, all those emotions are all derived from the hormones of stress. And, you know, psychology calls that the normal states of consciousness. Those are altered states of consciousness. And when we function by those hormones of stress, we put all our attention on the particle. We put all of our attention on the part of the atom that's material, and we edit out the wave of possibilities.
Right.
The atom's 99.999% nothing, we're not paying attention to the possibilities. Now, in order for us to access those possibilities, and by the way, we come with all the biological and neurological machinery to do this, we have to literally become nobody, no thing, no time, no one, nowhere. And when we truly pay attention to our inner world, the brain waves change, and we move in from beta to alpha. There's a shift for activity in the frontal lobe and away from the emotional centers of the hindbrain. And the moment that happens, the frontal lobe acts like this volume control, and it begins to silence the circuits in the rest of the brain where we have an identity, where we process time, where we process space, where we feel our bodies. And the moment the thought is the experience and you become nobody, no thing, no time, mm-hmm. you go from being selfish to being selfless. You become pure consciousness. That's the moment you walk through the door to the quantum field. You can't walk through the door as a somebody. You've got to walk through the door as a nobody. And we've all done this. You've driven down the freeway 40 miles and you didn't feel your body. You didn't see the road in front of you. You didn't see the environment. And you lost track of time.
Right.
That kind of dissociative mechanism is the exact same trance-like state or mechanism we used to create with. But most people in that state are thinking about their problems instead of focusing on possibilities.
Right, right. And so that's a very powerful state to be in. You know, Joe, when we return, I would like to ask you the following question. I know that you are obviously a scientist, and you're also somebody who's on your spiritual path. What inspires you as a scientist, and what inspires you as a spiritual seeker? When we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show. If you are looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
Are you looking for an easy way to shift your vibration, creating lasting change in your life? Join Christine Upchurch, Director of Stellar Reflections and host of the Christine Upchurch Show, for a special presentation at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Friday, May 24th. Christine will discuss the exciting new energetic activations which have changed lives around the world. She will share the amazing story of how these activations came about, how these processes are a part of an energetic evolution that is underway, and how you too can shift your life and play an important role in the transformation of the planet. Join Christine Upchurch for the 111 Activation and Beyond Tools to Transform Your Life at East West Bookshop in Seattle on May 24th at 7:30 p.m. Isn't it time to release the patterns of struggle and step into the vibration of empowerment? Reserve your space today at eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, best-selling author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and co-star of the hit movie What the Bleep, is bringing his progressive workshop to Seattle June 28th through 30th. In this transformational workshop, Dr. Joe will help you to release those thoughts, habits, and emotions that get in the way of living the life you deserve and empower you to step into a new level of being. Join Dr. Joe June 28th through 30th in Seattle. For more information, visit drjoedispenza.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Joe Dispenza, author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Joe, before the break, I was asking you, you know, I've worked with scientists for many years, and I know that scientists get really jazzed about, you know, their path, the next thing that they're working on. And I also know, as a seeker myself, as somebody who's looking for psychological and spiritual change, that I get inspired in various ways. So I'd like to ask you, what inspires you as a scientist, and what inspires you as somebody on your spiritual path?
Well, as a scientist, of course, I think you're only as great as the questions you ask. You know, when we started measuring all this transformation, we started getting all this, you know, feedback from our participants that their conditions were healing and their bodies were changing. It was the feedback that I needed. And then when it started happening in the events during the workshops, I started to pay attention to it, because these were people that, you know, had something like MS and couldn't feel their leg and came out of a meditation and signaled a new gene, and they were completely transformed. So,
and that's huge.
So then I said, well, geez, if it's happening in the event, let's start measuring it. So in our last advanced workshop, we brought in a team of neuroscientists and physicists, and we began to brain map people with the quantitative electroencephalographic readings. We put them in meditation, and we were measuring their brain in real time, and we were also doing pre- and post-measurements of their brain before the event and after the event. And boy, I tell you, in a four-day event, 91% of the people that participated had more than 80% change in their brain for the better. And we saw people with Parkinson's disease have a normal brain. We saw people with, traumatic brain injuries, their brain come back online. We saw bliss and ecstasy in the brain. We saw people move into a state of the present moment. We saw quite a bit of change. And so what excites me then is when you can give people information and instruct them a little bit on how to do it, and then measure their transformation. And once you measure that transformation and you get a clue about what's happening in real time, that's more information. And then you can teach transformation better. And then once you measure that transformation again, now that's more information for you to begin to teach transformation. And so we begin to close the gap. And that's where we're at right now. We're uncovering so many great things to be able to teach it better. And also, it's like it's an amazing process, because it's just common folks like you and I that are doing really amazing and incredible things. So that's what inspires me as a scientist.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that I personally, and I think this is the same as probably true about you, Joe, from what I know of you, I want to preach beyond the choir. I want to reach those people who are mainstream. And I think that the science also shows to the mainstream that there's something to this, that they can physically change. Yes, you know, you can document healings, but if you've got all that scientific information that says, hey, look at this, guys, you know, look at this, this is effective at shifting a person's life, then more people are going to be attracted to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the next book I'm writing is about the placebo. It's called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter.
Can you teach
the placebo? And the answer is yes, we're doing it. These people are not putting their attention or their faith into some sugar pill or saline injection. They're putting their belief into the unknown, into the quantum field of possibilities. And they're focusing on nothing. And by focusing on nothing, we see a person with Parkinson's disease for 15, 20 years all of a sudden have a normal brain and have no tremors. It's teachable. And we have all the resources and abilities to do that. And so when we see those changes in brainwaves and surface tomography, we know that this person is really making significant changes in their health.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So what inspires you as a spiritual seeker?
I'm the happiest when I'm learning and when I'm changing. And my interests really are about the mystical. I love those experiences, Chris, that catch me so off guard and are so out of the box of my understanding that I could never go back to business as usual again. I love those events, the mystical moments that are so unconventional. And I have to redefine my understanding of reality. So I live for those moments that help me really understand better who I am. And sometimes it's very humbling, because after those mystical moments, I realize that I have this all wrong. That's the most common thing that I walk away with. Wow, that isn't how it really is. And so I think it's healthy to keep one foot in the scientific world and one foot in the experiential world and participate in the process of discovery as a as an initiating knowledge in a student in life.
Right, right. That's beautiful. And anything you'd like to share with us about something that surprised you along the way?
Oh my gosh! Well, what would you like? Would you like a mystical? I mean, I've had crazy, amazing things happen to me. I've had things appear out of nowhere, right in front of me. I have had some very, very nice interdimensional experiences, and I have had some very, very abstract moments where I've experienced really being connected to the divine, and though that kind of electromagnetism, that frequency that was moving through my nervous system, I understood what love was. It wasn't chemical. I understood what that mind of God is all about. So
wonderful.
I love those moments because you never can go back to living your life the same way.
Yes, that's beautiful. So, Joe, you've got an event June 28th through 30th here in Seattle, and I want to remind our listeners again, Joe, your website's drjoedispenza.com, drjoedispenza.com. And in just 30 seconds or less, what would you like to share with our listeners?
I think that the beauty behind all of this is that we're all creators, and that if I were to say one common thing that I've discovered over the years in interacting with people, whether they were CEOs of organizations or people in jail, prison inmates, or the janitor in the local school, that everybody secretly believes in their greatness. Everybody secretly believes in possibility. And the hardest part of all of this, really, is making the time for our precious selves to remind ourselves who we no longer want to be and remind ourselves who we do want to be. And my recommendation is to try it out. Experiment in your life and play with the concept that you're at cause in your life, and be open to those wonderful experiences that show up, and invite everybody to come to the event in June, at the end of June, the 28th and 30th. And if they come, I promise that you'll walk away with a lot of information and a lot of skills to be able to use this these concepts in your life.
Wonderful. And I will definitely be there. I'm so excited, Joe. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, tonight I'm going to be talking about the 111 Activation and Beyond, Tools to Transform Your Life. Now, I'm going to be sharing with you the amazing story of my journey. It was sort of an unanticipated journey. I've talked about it a little bit on this show before, and I've also talked about it on the Dr. Pat show. I basically helped to co-create these new energetic processes. You know, I've been working in the healing realm for many years, and after a strange series of unanticipated events, I co-created these things with some other people, and, you know, we were the little scientists, and we went out and said, okay, well, is this different from the other energetic processes we've been working with? And we found that this affects people in amazing ways. So I'm going to be talking about the 111 Activation tonight. I'm also going to talk to you about the evolution that I feel is underway with our vibrational fields. As I always say, if you want to change the patterns in your life, then change the vibrational pattern in your field. You know, the biofield, that energetic field that surrounds us, can be measured by scientists in various ways. And it's very, very real. And the circumstances we attract into our lives relate to the vibration of that energetics that we can't see with the naked eye. But that's what's attracting our experiences in health, in terms of our experiences with relationships, our career, our abundance or lack thereof, and our connection to the divine, that intuitive spiritual connection, is all determined by our vibrational patterns. So if you'd like to hear about it tonight at East West Bookshop, 7:30 p.m., please join me, and I'd love to have you there. I'm also going to offer people a little bit of a taste of the process itself. So please let me know if you've got any questions. You can contact my office at 425-999-9836. And, of course, my website, stellarreflections.com. Next week, I hope you'll join me again. I'm going to be talking with Deborah Koff Chapin. We're going to be talking about Portal to the Soul through Touch Drawing. It's great to have you with me today. Hope you'll join me next week. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.